Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, episode 251. Today we're reading chapter 21 of the novel, I Need Someone to Pray With Me, by Daniel White III with his wife Marika White. Roger gave Aubrey a call on Saturday night. Hey Aubrey, want to do something fun, like going somewhere with me at 12 midnight? By the way, sorry I couldn't make it at 6. As if I was waiting, Aubrey thought. Sounds crazy, no thanks. I thought you liked doing crazy things. Yes, but not at 12 midnight, and definitely not with someone who does not think he needs to apologize for his selfish, disrespectful attitude on yesterday, and especially since I'm going to church in the morning. And so should you. Why do I need to apologize? Roger said. First, you cannot turn up unexpectedly and expect me to just drop what I'm doing to go along with you. On top of that, you get upset when I don't respond the way you think I should, and you threaten me. Aubrey shuddered as she recalled the way Roger had gripped her arm. She couldn't help but wonder if he would abuse her physically like Jamal had done. I was not upset, and I did not threaten you, Roger said. I was just letting you know. You were just letting me know you can make things difficult for me if I dare to say no to you, Aubrey interrupted. Well, if it will make you feel better, I'm sorry. Are you really? Aubrey said. What's your problem now? Here I just called you 2.5 hours before the time I want to take you out, and you're still not happy about it. Aubrey sensed Roger was trying hard not to sound angry, but he was failing at it. Thank you for being considerate, Roger. And thank you for calling me at 6 to let me know you would not be able to make it, but sorry, I won't be able to go anywhere tonight, Aubrey said. Roger didn't respond, so she continued. You know, I've been thinking, we really need to pray together more whenever we meet up, if we ever meet up again. And it would be nice if you prayed with me and for me, even over the phone. I do pray for you, Aubrey. Well, can you pray with me before I say goodnight? Aubrey waited for him to respond. Ah, well, sure. Roger cleared his throat. Dear God, thank you for watching over me. I mean us. Thank you for your love. Help me tonight. I mean help us. I think you're looking for the word amen, Aubrey said softly. Amen, Roger mumbled. Good night, Roger. Hopefully I'll see you in church tomorrow. Mother Jameson, Aubrey, and her friends made their way to the pews for the 11 o'clock service on Sunday. A visitor was waiting for them. Mr. Romney, I'm so glad you could come, Mother Jameson said, greeting him with a motherly hug. I decided to take you up on your offer before it expires, he replied with a smile. And please, call me Quentin. Okay, Quentin. You remember my daughter, Aubrey, and these are her friends, Simone, Jennifer, and Kelly. Pleased to meet you all again, Quentin said, shaking each of their hands. And how have you been doing, Aubrey? I've been doing great, Aubrey said with a smile. Roger, who was upset over Aubrey turning him down the previous night, showed up on time for services as well. He took note of Aubrey's exchange with Mr. Rodney from the back pew where he normally sat. So that's it, he thought. This explains a sudden change in her attitude towards me. Throughout the services, and especially during the preaching of the word, Quentin occasionally affirmed the pastor's message with an amen. When Pastor Ashton called for the congregants to pray in unison, Aubrey noticed the simple but powerful words he offered up to God. But then, she was not really surprised, for she remembered that he had prayed with her many times when he was working on her case. She quickly agreed when Mother Jameson suggested inviting him to join them for Sunday dinner. Roger made his way over to where Aubrey, Quentin, and a few others were talking as soon as Pastor Ashton dismissed the congregation. Hey, Aubrey, is everything still on for this evening? He gave her an extended hug and an unexpected kiss on the corner of her mouth. Aubrey quickly stepped out of his embrace. Roger, this is Quentin Rodney. He was my lawyer some time ago, she said. How are you, sir? Roger asked. I'm doing fine, Quentin answered. How are you? Even with such a short exchange, Aubrey could not help but notice how different the two men were. Roger had quickly shifted his eyes away from Quentin's, whereas Quentin's steady gaze remained on Roger. Are things still on for this evening? Roger asked again, hoping to put her on the spot. What plans, Roger? We didn't have any, Aubrey said. And even if we did, I would have to cancel because we have a guest this evening. Simone tried to hide her smile as Aubrey noticed the look of embarrassment on Roger's face. He mumbled a goodbye, turned on his heel, and walked out without another word. Good for you, Simone said to Aubrey shortly after Quentin left Mother Jameson's home with a full stomach. I'm going to tell you this because I'm your friend. Roger is a spoiled, insecure person. He has the physique of a man on the outside, but he's just a little boy on the inside. I don't know why you're wasting your time with him as far as a relationship goes. I repeat, Roger out, Quentin in. I hear you, Simone, Aubrey said as she flicked off the light in her room and slipped into bed. She was about to fall off to sleep, thinking about the pleasant evening they had with Quentin Rodney as their dinner guest when her phone rang. Without looking at the caller ID, she picked it up. Hello? Spill it. It was Roger. Oh boy, not you, Audrey thought. Now I know you've been sneaking around with that loyal friend of yours, Roger said. Roger, I've not been sneaking around, Audrey retorted. Mother met him in the grocery store and invited him to our church, and then over for dinner. I felt it necessary to be here, if for nothing else than as a show of appreciation for what he did for me nearly a year ago. Audrey paused to catch her breath. Whatever happened to hello, Aubrey? How are you doing? Whatever happened to you not disrespecting me like that in front of the whole church? Roger demanded. I am not your wife, Aubrey said. We didn't have any plans and you know it. I always have plans. I thought I made that clear last week. What in the world is your problem? Aubrey let out an exasperated sigh as she flopped back on her pillow. You know what? I've had it with you. You're an inconsiderate, selfish, immature little boy. That's who I've been going out with, a child. Good night, Roger. Don't you hang up on me, Roger shouted into the receiver. Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Romans 3:23 reads, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, For the wages of sin is death. 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 4. Accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8 and 9, For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10, verses 9 and 13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read what to do after you enter through the door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Thank you once again for listening, and may God bless you until next time.